From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
Today we go to the United Nations General Assembly's General Debate. It's an event that happens every September, and this year is the 76th time that it's happened. We're going to bring you presentations from the President of Iran, Ebrahim Raisi, and the President of China, Xi Jinping. First up, the President of the People's Republic of China, Xi Jinping.
Mr. President, the year 2021 is a truly remarkable one for the Chinese people. This year marks the centenary of the Communist Party of China. It is also the 50th anniversary of the restoration of the lawful seat of the People's Republic of China in the United Nations, a historic event which will be solemnly commemorated by China. We will continue our active efforts to take China's cooperation with the United Nations to a new level and make new and greater contributions to advancing the noble cause of the UN. Mr. President, a year ago, global leaders attended the high-level meetings marking the 75th anniversary of the UN and issued a declaration pledging to fight COVID-19 in solidarity, tackle challenges together, uphold multilateralism, strengthen the role of the UN, and work for the common future of present and coming generations. 1 year on, our world is facing the combined impacts of changes unseen in a century and the COVID-19 pandemic. In all countries, people long for peace and development more than ever before. Their call for equity and justice is growing stronger, and they are more determined in pursuing win-win cooperation. Right now, COVID-19 is still raging in the world, and profound changes are taking place in human society. The world has entered a period of new turbulence and transformation. It falls on each and every responsible statesman to answer the questions of our times and make a historical choice with confidence, courage, and a sense of mission. First, we must beat COVID-19 and win this decisive fight crucial to the future of humanity. The history of world civilization is also one of fighting pandemics. Rising to challenges, humanity has always emerged in triumph and achieved greater development and advancement. The current pandemic may appear overwhelming, but we, humanity, will surely overcome it and prevail. We should always put people and their lives first and care about the life, value, and dignity of every individual. We need to respect science, take a science-based approach, and follow the laws of science. We need to both follow routine, targeted COVID-19 protocols and take emergency response measures, and both carry out epidemic control and promote economic and social development. We need to enhance coordinated global COVID-19 response and minimize the risk of cross-border virus transmission. Vaccination is our powerful weapon against COVID-19. I have stressed on many occasions the need to make vaccine a global public good and ensure vaccine accessibility and affordability in developing countries. Of pressing priority is to ensure the fair and equitable distribution of vaccines globally. China will strive to provide a total of 2 billion doses of vaccines to the world by the end of this year. In addition to donating $100 million to COVAX. China will donate 100 million doses of vaccines to other developing countries in the course of this year. China will continue to support and engage in global science-based origins tracing and stands firmly opposed to political maneuvering in whatever form. Second, we must revitalize the economy and pursue more robust, greener, and more balanced global development. Development holds the key to people's well-being. Facing the severe shocks of COVID-19, we need to work together to steer global development towards a new stage of balanced, coordinated, and inclusive growth. To this end, I would like to propose a global development initiative. Staying committed to development as a priority, we need to put development high on the global macro policy agenda, strengthen policy coordination among major economies, and ensure policy continuity, consistency, and sustainability. We need to foster global development partnerships that are more equal and balanced, forge greater synergy among multilateral development operation cooperation processes, and speed up the implementation of the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development. Staying committed to a people-centered approach, we should safeguard and improve people's livelihoods and protect and promote human rights through development, and make sure that development is for the people and by the people, and that its fruits are shared among the people. We should continue our work so that the people will have a greater sense of happiness, benefit, and security, and achieve well-rounded development. Staying committed to benefits for all, we should care about the special needs of developing countries. We may employ such means as debt suspension and development aid to help developing countries, particularly vulnerable ones facing exceptional difficulties, with the emphasis on addressing unbalanced and inadequate development among and within countries. Staying committed to innovation-driven development, we need to seize the historical opportunities created by the latest round of technological revolution and industrial transformation, redouble efforts to harness technological achievements to boost productivity and foster an open, fair, equitable, and non-discriminatory environment for the development of science and technology. We should foster new growth drivers in the post-COVID era and jointly achieve leapfrog development. Staying committed to harmony between man and nature. We need to improve global environmental governance, actively respond to climate change, and create a community of life for man and nature. We need to accelerate transition to a green and low-carbon economy and achieve green recovery and development. China will strive to peak carbon dioxide emissions before 2030 and achieve carbon neutrality before 2060. This requires tremendous hard work, and we will make every effort to meet these goals. China will step up support for other developing countries in developing green and low-carbon energy, and will not build new coal-fired power projects abroad. Staying committed to results-oriented actions, we need to increase input in development, advance on a priority basis cooperation on poverty alleviation, food security, COVID-19 response and vaccines, development financing, climate change and green development, industrialization, digital economy, and connectivity, among other areas, and accelerate implementation of the UN 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, so as to build a global community of development with a shared future. China has pledged an additional $3 billion of international assistance in the next 3 years to support developing countries in responding to COVID-19 and promoting economic and social recovery. Third, we must strengthen solidarity and promote mutual respect and win-win cooperation in conducting international relations. A world of peace and development should embrace civilizations of various forms and must accommodate diverse paths to modernization. Democracy is not a special right reserved to any individual country, but a right for the people of all countries to enjoy. Recent developments in the international situation show once again that military intervention from the outside and so-called democratic transformation entail nothing but harm. We need to advocate peace, development, equity, justice, democracy and freedom, which are the common values of humanity, and reject the practice of forming small circles or zero-sum games. Differences and problems among countries, hardly avoidable, need to be handled through dialogue and cooperation on the basis of equality and mutual respect. One country's success does not have to mean another country's failure. And the world is big enough to accommodate common development and progress of all countries. We need to pursue dialogue and inclusiveness over confrontation and exclusion. We need to build a new type of international relations based on mutual respect, equity, justice, and win-win cooperation, and do the best we can to expand the convergence of our interests and achieve the biggest synergy possible. The Chinese people have always celebrated and striven to pursue the vision of peace, amity, and harmony. China has never and will never invade or bully others or seek hegemony. China is always a builder of world peace, contributor to global development, defender of the international order, and provider of public goods. China will continue to bring the world new opportunities through its new development. Fourth, we must improve global governance and practice true multilateralism. In the world, there is only one international system, i.e., the international system with the United Nations at its core. There is only one international order, i.e., the international order underpinned by international law. And there is only one set of rules, i.e., the basic norms governing international relations underpinned by the purposes and principles of the UN Charter. The UN should hold high the banner of true multilateralism and serve as the central platform for countries to jointly safeguard universal security, share development achievements, and chart the course for the future of the world. The UN should stay committed to ensuring a stable international order, increasing the representation and say of developing countries in international affairs, and taking the lead in advancing democracy and rule of law in international relations. The UN should advance in a balanced manner, work in all the three areas of security, development, and human rights. It should set common agenda, highlight pressing issues, and focus on real actions, and see to it that commitments made by all parties to multilateralism are truly delivered. Mr. President, the world is once again at a historical crossroads. I'm convinced that the trend of peace, development, and advancement for humanity is irresistible. Let us bolster confidence, jointly address global threats and challenges and work together to build a community with a shared future for mankind and a better world for all.
This is President Ibrahim Raisi of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Mr. Chairman, as the elected president of the great people of Iran, I'm honored to be their representative to convey to the world at large the message of rationality, justice and freedom, which are the three most fundamental principles of the life of the contemporary man. However, those three principles that all the Abrahamic religions have in common would not be able to attain their purpose without spirituality. Freedom and justice as two sacred and innocent words that are too broad to define are indeed very tough and intricate when it comes to practicing them. Freedom means the right to think, decide, and act for all the human beings. Peace and lasting security are tied to the administration of justice. And basically, the divine prophets emerged so that people would demand justice and exercise their rights. Justice and freedom may be achieved only when the rights of all nations are fulfilled. As a matter of fact, any violation of the rights of nations will more than anything endanger global peace and security. Ladies and gentlemen, this year, two scenes made history. One was on January the 6th, when the US Congress was attacked by the people, and two, when the people of Afghanistan were dropped down from the US planes in August. From the capital to Kabul, one clear message was sent to the world. The United States hegemonic system has no credibility, whether inside or outside the country. What is seen in our region today proves that not only the hegemonist and the idea of hegemony, but also the project of imposing westernized identity have failed miserably. The result of seeking hegemony has been blood spilling and instability and ultimately defeat and escape. Today, the US does not get to exit Iraq and Afghanistan, but is expelled. And at the same time, it is the oppressed people from Palestine and Syria to Yemen and Afghanistan, as well as the US taxpayers, who have to pay for this lack of rationality. Today, the world doesn't care about America first or America is back. If rationality prevails in the minds of the decision makers, they have to realize that nations' perseverance is stronger than the power of the superpowers. Over the past decade, the US has been making the mistake of modifying its way of war with the world instead of changing its way of life. An erroneous path cannot be brought to fruition by merely adopting a different method. Sanctions are the US new way of war with the nations of the world. Sanctions against the Iranian nation started not with my country's nuclear program. They even predate the Islamic Revolution and go back to the year 1951 when oil nationalization went underway in Iran, which in turn led to a military coup backed by the Americans and the Britons against the then government of Iran, which had been elected by the people. Sanctions, and especially sanctions on medicine, at the time of COVID-19 pandemic, are crimes against humanity. The Holy Quran introduces the destruction of nature and mankind as a major characteristic of the tyrants. The Islamic Republic of Iran proposes that any kind of sanction-induced restriction or disruption in the supply of good health and environment as to humanitarian issues be declared forbidden. Moreover, I, on behalf of the Iranian nation and millions of refugees hosted by my country, would like to condemn the continued illegal US sanctions, especially in the area of humanitarian items, and demand that this organized crime against humanity be recorded as a symbol and reality of the so-called American human rights. despite the fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran was keen from the outset to purchase and import COVID-19 vaccines from reliable international sources, it faced inhumane medical sanctions. Therefore, from the very beginning, we started to sustainably produce vaccines domestically. In addition to peaceful nuclear and satellite technologies, Iran is the medical hub of the region, and numerous Iranian physicians and scientists, such as Avicenna, shine in the history of humankind. Knowledge that is beneficial to humanity cannot be sanctioned. We ourselves have been able to produce fuel for the Tehran Research Reactor, which makes radiopharmaceuticals for more than 1 million cancer patients in Iran. We have also made astonishing progress in the area of biotechnology and stem cells, in spite of all sanctions. And today, despite all sanctions targeting human rights, we have become one of the manufacturers of COVID-19 vaccines. Cooperation amongst the countries of the world in the realm of health, and especially on vaccines, is tantamount to helping the spirit of humanity and the policy based on divinity, humanity, and international relations. Coronavirus is a wake-up call for the whole world, reminding us once again that the security of all human beings are interdependent. Crises in the human societies, such as violence, poverty, unemployment, moral and economic corruption, collapse of family foundations, regional wars, organized terrorism, and environmental crises are all the results of inattention to the principles of rationality, justice, and freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, the strategic thoughts of the Islamic Republic of Iran are rooted in the ideas of the founder of the Islamic Revolution, the late Imam Khomeini, may his soul rest in peace, as well as in the genuine concepts of true Islam, that is, rationality, prudence, and pondering, and have resulted in the resistance in line with the national interests of countries. Speaking about the rights of nations without speaking of the obligations of the governments cannot bring about the fulfillment of the rights, as the independence of a nation is its freedom. The Islamic Revolution supports this kind of freedom and hence obstructs extremism. And this is the nature of the true strength of the Islamic Republic of Iran, which does good to all. The Islamic Republic of Iran is inspiring, and as such, the power emanating from it creates security. The security-making model of the Islamic Republic of Iran is based on forming intra-regional mechanisms through diplomacy that is pivoted on and free from outside interferences. It has been our policy to strive for the preservation of stability and territorial integrity of all the countries of the region, if not for the power and role of Iran alongside the governments and peoples of Syria and Iraq, as well as the selfless efforts of martyrs Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis and General Qasem Soleimani. Today, ISIS would be the Mediterranean neighbors of Europe. And of course, ISIS will not be the last wave of extremism. The new drive to come up with the Cold War-esque divisions will not help foster the security of humans by isolating independent countries. An arbitrary attitude is not the way to solve terrorism, because terrorism has its roots in various crises such as identity and economy. The fact that modern lives have become devoid of meaning and spirituality, as well as the spread of poverty, discrimination, and oppression, have helped the rise of terrorism. The increasing growth of indigenous terrorism in the West bears witness to this bitter truth. Even more bitter is the use of terrorism as an instrument for foreign policy, because you cannot fight terrorism with double standards. You cannot make a terrorist group such as ISIS in a certain place and claim to fight it somewhere else. After first seeking the grace of the Almighty God, the solution to skirmishes and conflicts in our region lies in the following: making the will of nations rule over their own destiny by referring to the results of public vote. But in order for this to materialize, two basic preconditions need be met. One, halting the aggressions of the outsiders and occupation. And two, the sincere cooperation of governments to counter terrorism. The military presence of the United States in Syria and Iraq is the biggest hindrance to the establishment of democracy and will of nations. Freedom does not fit in the backpacks of soldiers coming from outside the region. If an inclusive government having an effective participation of all ethnicities shouldn't emerge to run Afghanistan, security will not be restored to the country. And like occupation, paternalism is also doomed to failure. The humanitarian crisis in Yemen is very worrying, and the world needs to break its silence towards crimes against humanity. The solution? The speedy and unconditional stop to the Yemeni aggression, opening of channels for providing humanitarian aid, and facilitation of constructive talks between Yemeni groups. The occupier Zionist regime is the organizer of the biggest state terrorism, whose agenda is to slaughter women and children in Gaza and the West Bank. Today, an all-out blockade has turned Gaza to the biggest prison in the world. The so-called deal of the century failed, just like any other deal forced on Palestinians. There is only one solution: holding a referendum with the participation of all Palestinians of all religions and ethnicities, including Muslims, Christians, and Jews. This solution was set forth by the Supreme Leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran many years ago, which is now registered as one of the official documents of the United Nations. Mr. Chairman, today the whole world, including the Americans themselves, have admitted that the project of countering the Iranian people, which manifested itself in the form of violating the JCPOA and was followed by the maximum pressure and arbitrary withdrawal from an internationally recognized agreement, has totally failed. However, the policy of maximum tyranny is still on. We want nothing more than what is rightfully ours. We demand the implementation of international rules. All parties must stay true to the nuclear deal and the UN resolution in practice. 15 reports released by the IAEA have attested to the adherence of Iran to its commitments. However, the United States has not yet discharged its obligation, which is lifting sanctions. It has encroached upon the agreement, withdrawn from it, and levied even more sanctions on my people. The United States mistakenly believed it would render us desperate and devastated, but our perseverance has yielded results and will always do. For the smart and dynamic resistance of the Islamic Republic of Iran comes from our strategic rationality, and we don't trust the promises made by the US government. It is the strategic policy of the Islamic Republic of Iran to consider the production and stockpiling of atomic weapons as forbidden, and that based on the religious decree by His Eminence, the Supreme Leader. Nukes have no place in our defense doctrine and deterrence policy. The Islamic Republic considers useful the talks whose ultimate outcome is the lifting of all oppressive sanctions, while decisively defending all its rights and the interests of its people. Iran is keen to have large-scale political and economic cooperation and convergence with the rest of the world. I seek effective interaction with all the countries of the world, especially with our neighbors, and shake their hands warmly. A new era has begun. The Islamic Republic of Iran is ready to play its part for a better world. A world brimful of rationality, justice, freedom, morality, and spirituality. Thank you all for your attention. Peace and mercy of Allah be upon you.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.